hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
A man named Tony Robbins said, "It's in the moments of decision that your destiny is shaped." That should scare us slightly when it comes to decision making. And I want to talk tonight about decision making. There are some things in your life that are going to be completely out of your control, but you still have a decision to make on how you respond. In this series, the teaching series we've been doing has been navigating life. And we can't talk about navigating life without talking about decision making, because our decisions will direct us in the way that we want to go. So I'm going to be using the whiteboard a lot tonight. If you can't see it, move so that you can see it. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that even when things are different around us, that we can look to you. And I ask, Lord, that with the decisions that are in front of us, I pray that you would give us wisdom on how to walk forward. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to do is we are going to look at the life of a man in the Bible who was shaped by his decisions, who made many bad decisions, and went on many detours, and we're going to look at those detours so that we can learn what not to do and how to stay on the straight and narrow. So, this is you. I practiced this because I didn't just want to do a stick figure. Am I out of the shot? I didn't just want to do a stick figure. So this is you. And this is the road ahead of you, okay? And we're going to call this his way. I thought this was clever because it's like a highway in front of you, but it's God's way, so it's his way, all right? So when I'm referring to his way, you know what that is. And we have things in our life where we encounter forks in the road, and these have potential to be detours. And I want to look at Abraham's detours tonight so that we can understand what he discovered is the key to stay on his way. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, detour number one. We walk off his way when we, wait. Oh, okay, here we go. We walk off his way when we mostly follow his way, when we mostly follow God's way. And we're going to look at this passage in Genesis 13 where we see how Abraham mostly followed God's way. So let's pull up that first passage on the screen, Genesis 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him." Now I want to highlight a couple of things to show you how Abram mostly followed God. Because a lot of times this passage is quoted as the great decision of Abraham. How he really was on track, right? But actually, he mostly followed God's way. First thing I want to highlight to you is that first verse said, "Now the Lord had said to Abram." Not "the Lord said to Abram." The Lord had said to Abram. So give you context on this, I want to show you why this is past tense. At the point that this is spoken in Genesis 12, Abram is not in Ur. He's in Haran. Okay? So he's in a different city other than Ur. He's in Haran. And if you backtrack, this word from the Lord came to him when he was in Ur, but it's being repeated in the Bible now that he's in Haran. So there is a delay between when Abraham heard from the Lord and when he actually followed. Okay, so here we go. He hears from God here. God speaks to Abe. All right? And then we can assume that Abraham was very influential in his family. Because I imagine he came up to his father named Terah, and he says, "Dad, God spoke to me, and I'm going to be going away to a land called Canaan." And the dad isn't like, "All right, son, have fun." He's like, "I will come with you and bring the whole entire family." Right? That's not very good planning to bring your whole family on. But the whole family left Ur with Abram. His dad, Terah, his brother's wives, his nephew, Lot, they all went on a big road trip to Haran. Now, this isn't just like a whim of the moment decision, because from here to here is about 964 kilometers. That's the distance of the top of the South Island to the bottom of the South Island plus some. So it's a really long distance. And Abraham said yes, right? Abraham said yes to his family coming to Haran. But what had God said? "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house." So right off the bat, Abram is mostly following God's way. And it's not until Terah dies, his dad, that Abram is now, in Genesis 12, recalling what the Lord had spoken. And he sets out for Canaan. But he still only mostly followed God's way. Why? We know from the last four words of what we read, it says, "And Lot went with him." His nephew went with him. And if you know much of the story, Lot caused a lot of problems along the way. A lot of problems, right? So he mostly followed God. Number two, detour. This detour happens in the second half of Genesis 12. So he leaves Haran, sets out to Canaan, and very shortly later, he hits another detour. All right? What triggers this detour starts with, "Now there was a famine in the land." A famine, a national crisis, an out-of-your-control situation. A famine hit the land. And what was Abraham's response? It freaked him out. How do we know? Because God had given him instructions to go to Canaan. And it says he left and took his family to Egypt. There was a famine. He made a decision. He went to Egypt. It does not say, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham built an altar and called upon the Lord." No, it says There's famine in the land. Abraham left, went to Egypt. Was that a logical decision? Yes, there was a famine, there was food in Egypt. The problem wasn't that it was logical. Sometimes making logical decisions are good decisions. But the problem was that he didn't invite God into the decision. So detour number two. If you want to go on this detour, don't ask God. Don't talk to God. Don't invite him into your decisions. And you will follow suit with Abraham in going on this detour. So what were the consequences of not asking God? One of the consequences was fear. Abram and Sarah were starting to go into Egypt. Abram looks over at his wife Sarah and says, "Honey, you are so beautiful. You're so beautiful that I think the Pharaoh might want you as his wife. And if the Pharaoh wants you, then he's going to kill me. So let's tell the Pharaoh that we are brother and sister, and then he won't kill me." Not good for your marriage. Don't do that, right? So they go into Egypt with this plan. Abram deceives Pharaoh, and Pharaoh does indeed look at Sarah and say, "Wow, she's beautiful. Prepare her to be in my household." I'm not sure how that happened, because at this time, Sarah was like 90 years old, and they just must have had a really good face cream or something. I'm not sure. But the Pharaoh found her really beautiful, and it did not end up well. Really did not end up well. And they ended up getting kicked out of the country. It is safe to say that their marriage was definitely on the rocks after that experience. So unnecessary hurt happened because he didn't listen to God. Another consequence for Abraham was that he missed out on what God would have done. Because he didn't ask, he didn't get to see the provision or hear the divine instruction from God. Sometimes we are so set on what we want to do, we don't want to ask God's opinion because we don't want to hear it. I've totally done this before. So a couple years ago, I remember Josh coming to me and just really sensing that the Lord was calling us to New Zealand to have us move here. And I was like, "That's great that you feel that way, but I don't. So have fun." You know, like, I just didn't want to go. And he's like, "Will you pray about it?" And I was like, No. No, I did not pray about it. I intentionally didn't pray about it because I didn't want to hear what the Lord's answer was. And this went on for like 3 or 4 months, right? So it wasn't just like a week. I didn't want to hear what God was going to say. But that detour for Abraham took him off of his way, of God's way. Situations that are out of our control are invitations to ask God for directions. Famines, national crisis, they're out of our control. There's nothing that you can do about it. But they are invitations to ask God. So will you be like Abraham with Egypt, or will you ask God and listen? So how do we stay on his way? If we want to stay on God's way, how do we do that? There's a verse in Genesis 13:3. And this is the point where Abram is going away from Egypt and back to Canaan. So he's getting back on track. And I want to highlight this verse because it shows us a piece of how we stay on his way. It says, "He went on his journey from the south, as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there, Abram called on the name of the Lord. He returned back to the place where God had spoken last. He returned back to the place of surrender, back to the place of building an altar. The great thing about God, though, is that even after taking these two massive detours, Abraham is still known as the father of faith. God is so good and so able to redeem our decisions that even after detours, God can bring us in his way. So how do we stay on his way? I want to look at a key verse in Proverbs that summarizes, if you posture your heart, your life in this way, you will stay in God's way, in his way. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The key to navigating life's decisions is a posture of your heart. It's not so much about what you are doing. Sometimes God's very clear about what to do. But oftentimes, it's how you are posturing your life. There could be 1,000 ways within this, right? But it's how you are posturing your heart towards the Lord. You are trusting the Lord. You're leaning not on your own understanding. You're doing those things that God calls you to do in a heart attitude. First one, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Have full confidence that he has a plan. You know, when you go to the dentist, you trust them to pull out the right tooth. You don't go to the dentist and say, I'm so glad I came to you, but here, just give me the tools and I'll do it myself. Right? But so many times we're like, God, I'm coming to you, but don't worry, I'll do it myself. So we need to trust in the Lord that he has a plan, that he knows what he's doing. Lean not on your own understanding. Our assessment of a situation leads us to make decisions based on what we understand. But it says, lean not on your own understanding. If you sense God leading you to do something that doesn't make sense, do it. You might see something so cool that God does in your life. I remember when Josh and I signed up to do a study abroad trip to New Zealand in the North Island. And we were here for 3 months in 2014 before we came to Christchurch. And we needed $8,000 for the 3 month study abroad program. And this was like 6 or 7 months before the program was starting. So we began to save and save and save and save. And then we looked at our account and we had $400. And we were like, oh, I think we need a different tactic because we are not going to get to this much. And so we sat down together and we were like, well, let's just ask God, what's his plan? How's he going to provide for this? And so we prayed together and then we separate. And both wrote down what we felt like God was saying. We came back together, and we had written the exact same thing. Give away the $400. And we even got the person, the same person, to give it to. So, we gave it away. Was that logical? No, but we were not leaning on our own understanding. We were trusting the Lord. And third part of this proverb is, in all your way, acknowledge him. In all your way, acknowledge him. You might say, oh God, I want to seek your face for what career I should do. But as far as my relationships and my finances go, I got that. I'll make those decisions. No, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge there is yada, and it means to know. In all your ways, know him. Bring him in into every decision. He wants to have relationship with you, conversation with you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So if you trust, if you lean not, and if you know him, there's a promise. He will direct your path. He will keep you on his way. Can I have the band up? Now, sometimes he directs your path in obvious ways. I've had God speak really clearly to me and direct my path really obviously. He may speak to you directly. He may speak through someone else. He may just give you this intense sense of which direction to go. And in those instances, his way feels very clear. But then there's other times that it doesn't feel as obvious. Who has some of those decisions? Where it just doesn't feel as obvious on which way to go. And maybe you're facing that decision, you're posturing your heart for doing Proverbs 3, but you still don't know what to do. I was deciding a couple of years ago if I should quit my job at Save Mart so that I could go to a wedding back in the States. Because I asked them for 2 weeks off and they said no. And so I had to decide, will I quit and lose my job, or will I stay and miss the wedding? And I prayed and prayed and prayed and I got nothing. And I was talking to Julia Burnett, one of our women's pastors here, and she said, whatever decision you make, make it in faith, because God honors faith. So posture your life to trust, to not lean on your own understanding, to acknowledge him. But if the way doesn't feel clear, if you don't have a clear decision, make the decision in faith, knowing that he honors that faith. Does that mean that the outcome is going to be perfect? Maybe not. But God has a plan, and he is working all things together for your good. Like Abraham, we're not going to do this perfectly. We're going to go on detours. And even after he came back from Egypt and set his heart right again, he went on detours after that. But the thing that set him apart is that he signed up over and over again. And tonight, I want to invite you to sign up, to posture your heart, to trust, to lean not, and to know God. Right now, I want you to think of a decision that might be in front of you. Maybe it's a decision of whether to work from home or at work, right? Whatever decision is in front of you. And while we go back into singing, I want you to bring that decision before the Lord and set your heart to trust him, to give him your understanding and to know him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.